Let's all stand this morning if you don't. I'm excited. I say this all the time because I'm always excited about what God is doing. We serve such an awesome God, and He is certainly worthy of our worship and our praise. And this morning is going to be a little bit more of an upbeat, a little faster paced message, because it's kind of hard to talk about praise in a solemn way. We're going to start off, and you can go ahead. This is a participation message this morning. How many of you have ever been involved in one of those crowd participation type games or whatever? Although what we're doing here this morning is not a game, we were made to worship and praise the Almighty God. How many of you got your praise on this morning? I know Sunday morning, sometimes we don't wake up till noon. But I tell you what, I am excited. We're going to start reading in Psalms 100. And I'm going to read this and preach this, and you can kind of follow along with me, and you can read this and preach this right along with me. Psalms 100, it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures for all generations. Praise ye the Lord as you enter into the gates." When you enter into the church, we're entering into the presence of the Holy God. And we need to praise Him because He is worthy. How many of you are ready to praise the Lord this morning? Psalms 145 says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. Has God been good to you? He is good to all. His mercies, His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise Him. All thy works, you and I, are a work of the Almighty. And we need to take and praise Him this morning. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power." We were made to praise the Lord. And I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit here. "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation." How many of you this morning, the Lord God is your salvation? He has become my salvation. This is my God. He is my God. He is the God of heavens and earth, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will extol Him. I will sing unto Him praises to Him and speak of all His wonders in 1 Chronicles 6:19. "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods." This morning, we're going to preach, and going into the month of March, our theme for the month of March is titled, "Get Your Praise Out." we're going to take and we are going to praise your way out. And this morning, it is time for us to start. As Christians, we need to praise him from when we wake up in the morning. And we need to praise him as the noonday. And we need to praise him when the sun goes down. I will take and I will praise and I will worship my Creator from sun up to sundown. And whatever problem you're dealing with this morning, the only way to get out of it is you got to praise your way out. So the month of March is a praise month and a worship month. I'm excited for what God is doing, and you can be seated. We look at life, and life has been said that it was never meant to be easy. As we look out at each and every one of us, and if we went around this room this morning, every one of us would have a situation or a circumstance that we're dealing with in our life, and we would look at each other, and sometimes we think we have it bad, and we think we have it the worst, and then we hear someone else's situation. Life was never meant to be easy, and I believe that all of us can testify to this fact, but we all have, from time to time, we have faced troubles and we have faced trials in our life, and it seems that the older that I get, the more I realize that in life there are simply no guarantees. I used to look at the obituaries as a young man in my 20s and 30s, and it was very rare that you would see someone in the obituary that was your age, and now that I'm moving up past the 50 mark, I'm beginning to see more and more people my age having heart attacks and strokes. Life is so uncertain and so unpredictable. As we look into the scriptures this morning, we're going to find, you can find many examples of people who are just like you and just like me that have gone through some pretty rough patches in their lives. So if you sit here this morning, I would like to take and share with you just how do we overcome the problems that we are in. As I spoke of, each month of this year, we're going to have a theme for the month. In January, we spoke of spiritual warfare. I want you to understand one thing. In spiritual warfare, praise and worship is one of our greatest weapons that we can have against our enemy. If you're having a problem with situations and circumstances in your life, praise and worship is the way to get through that. You can sit there and you can think all you want to think about it. You can try to work your way through it and negotiate and look all different avenues. And God is saying, just lift your hands. It's that simple. Just lift your hands. Begin to praise me. Begin to worship me. And I'll show you what I can do. We look into the Old Testament. We read the conflict that Saul had with David. And King Saul was jealous of David's military victories and his popularity, and he was tired of hearing the praises of David. David was a young man that he was responsible for writing a number of the various psalms that we read. And going back, January was spiritual warfare, and then February we talked about sowing and reaping. And the month of March, our theme is going to be praising your way out. And David was someone who knew how to praise his God. I love the words to Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Are you breathing this morning? Are you taking in air out of your lungs? Then let's take and let's praise ye the Lord. Psalm So we have Saul, who was jealous of David's military victories and his popularity. Saul was tired of hearing the praises of David. He was tired of hearing everywhere he went, the ladies would sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul, being king, developed a tremendous jealousy and a bitter hatred towards David, and he sought to kill him. Maturity for a king. David had been anointed king some years earlier by the old prophet Samuel, but the time for David, and David knew this, and David understood that the time for him to be king was not yet nigh. So here we have David living a life. He was a national hero. He so-called, if you would look at it, came back from the Olympics of war, and he had slain Goliath the giant when all rest of Israel was afraid and would not go out and face the giant. Even King Saul himself was a coward. And David goes out with the hand of the Lord and a praise in his steps, and he defeats the giant. And Saul is jealous and seeking to kill him. So David is finding refuge in various places, moving around constantly to avoid Saul and his men. And we can read the story in 1 Samuel 18, chapters 18 through 30. It's a longer read. You can go home and you can take and read that. But here David is on the run, fearing for his life. Saul had tried at least three times to kill David with the spear, and then he attempted to have him killed in a battle with the Philistines. And after all of these attempts failed, Saul still remained his enemy for the rest of his days. In 1 Samuel 18:29, Saul, who had a son, Jonathan, who happened to be David's closest friend. Saul even tried to solicit the help of his son, Jonathan, to take and try to trap David so he could kill him. But David escaped from the house where he was set up to be killed. And David told Jonathan in chapter 20, there is only a step between me and death. I don't know that I've ever been that, a step between me and death. I don't really know what God has spared me from at times in my life, but I can't imagine what it would be like to live a life on the run like David. And Saul was intent. He was just adamant he was going to destroy David. He was so obsessed, and bitterness was eating him from the inside out. And David kept running from place to place as Saul and 3,000 of his men searched for him. David, he fled to Nob and then to Gath, and he hid in a cave at Adullam and then fled to Moab. And after Saul closed in on him in Moab, he fled to the deserts of Judah, which by no accident, Judah, who was the fourth born from Jacob through Leah, his wife Leah. Leah named him Jacob, which means, yet will I praise him. So here we have David on the run, and he flees to Judah. And there in Judah, being chased by Saul, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise my Lord. I'm going to praise him. So David, driven from his homeland, he ends up in Gath, which is a town of the Philistines. It was the hometown and where Goliath was born. So he ends back up into the very hands of his enemies, living amongst his enemies. But in Psalm 7, when we look at David and we look at all of the troubles that he had every right and he had every reason to take and complain, because Saul, the most powerful man in the land with 3,000 deputized soldiers, were seeking to kill him. Would be a pretty good reason to sit down and cry and complain and try to gather the sympathy of the people. But what did David do in Psalm 7? He praises, he sings praises unto the Lord. Oh Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all of them that persecute me and deliver me. I will sing praises. I will sing praise to the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. It seems David was always ready to praise the Lord, no matter what kind of problem he was faced with, no matter what kind of situation he was dealing with, David never had a praise very far from his lips. He sang about God's mercy. He sang about God's love. He sang about God's deliverance. And then after seeking God's mercy, he praised God's promises in Psalms 58, 6 and 10. David prayed for protection in times of danger, and he was ready to sing hymns and praises for God's love and his loyalty. He asked to be protected from his enemies as he sang about God's strength and his love in Psalms 59. He laid all his worries and his troubles before the Lord. He looked forward to being able to praise God for his goodness in Psalms 142, verses 2 and verse 7. David developed a habit of praise as a young man, and he never let that go. So many times, it's difficult when we come in to a church service and we've been beat up all week long, and we come in and we don't feel like praising God. I have to be honest, there are times where I haven't felt like it, but I've had to take at times and force myself. There are times when I pray at night, I'm said, Lord, I just can't seemingly get myself into this, and I have to take and I have to back up a little bit and say, God, you are worthy of my praise. Lord, you are worthy of the glory. You are worthy of the honor. I thank you, God. I praise you, God, for my health. I praise you, God, for my family. I praise you, God, for my wife. I praise you, God, for my job. I praise you, God, for my ministry. I praise you, God, simply because you are God. And you are worthy to be praised. We read in John 10:10, the first half of that verse. If you look at the first half of that verse, it says the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Satan is the thief that this verse is mentioning of. Satan tries to capture us and keep us captive in strongholds in our life. We have strongholds of bad habits. We have strongholds of poor self-esteem. We have strongholds that affect our minds and keep us in constant fear. We are constantly in a state of stress and worry, and he bombards us with daily troubles. The enemy comes in and strips us of all of our joy, and he tries to intimidate us and oppress us and depress us and keep us bound about lies about ourselves, and we're constantly being beat down and we become worn out, and through these sufferings and through these trials we can oftentimes lose hope and we become blinded to the truth, and so we give in to the lies of the enemy and we bury ourselves in self-pity and remorse. But Jesus did not leave us hanging there. In John 10:10, he went on to say that I came that you might have life. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So when the enemy comes in and he tries to steal and kill and destroy, finish the rest of the verse when Jesus Christ said, yes, the enemy may come in and try to kill you and steal from you and destroy you, but I, the creator of all, I have given you life that you may have it more abundantly. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people, that I should praise him because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to let you know this morning, I did not evolve from some lower creature crawling out of some swamp some 40 billion plus years ago. The Bible says my creator created me in his own image, and I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. He put me together, and when he put me together, he had a plan and he had a purpose. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Although we walk in the flesh and we don't war against the flesh, our weapons are not of this flesh. We must understand that Satan hates it when we praise the Lord God Most High, when we lift our hands in praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's like we're taking a knife and not sticking it in his back, but we're sticking it right between his eyeballs, where when he looks out of his old pointed ears, his old pointed eyeballs, and looks out, he can see praise and worship stuck right between, right on his forehead. He can't escape it. When we praise God, we bring down strongholds. When we praise God, we destroy the fortresses of evil. When we praise God, demons flee. When you praise God, your oppression will leave you. It has no choice, my friend. When you praise God, whatever type of enemy trick that he has against you, depression, all kinds of things, it has no choice but to flee. It has no choice. When we read in Acts 16, 22 through 24, and the multitudes rose together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely or safely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, into like solitary confinement. They said, we don't want these two dudes getting away. They've done nothing but cause havoc. They've gone across the countryside preaching Jesus, and everywhere they go, people's lives are changed. He's raising people through the ministry and through the miracles of Jesus Christ working through these two men, Paul and Silas. All kinds of people are being healed of all kinds of oppression, and they're casting demons out of all kinds, and everywhere they go, they're healing the sick, and things are happening. So when you lock them up, put them in the solitary confinement where no one can get at them. Lock them up in the inner part of the prison. And not only that, put some shackles on them so that in case they were to take and get out of the shackles, they can't get out of the prison. They got to get out of the shackles. They got to get out of the inner prison, and they got to get through the guards, and they got to get out the outer prison and then the main gate. They were locked in. They were like Bosco Belled in. They're not going nowhere. They were in Supermax. No daylight. So here, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they're praying as they begin to pray. I can see it now as they're praying, Lord, I want you to come down, and I want you to bless those men that laid those stripes on our backs. Lord, they're only following orders by taking and beating us, and I want you to bless them. I want you to open up their eyes. I want you to take and allow us somehow to lead them to you, Lord. And they begin to pray about the cities and the towns and the villages that they had preached in, and as they begin to pray, they begin to thank God and say, thank God for calling me into the ministry. I want to thank you, Lord, even though it hurts, even though we go through tests, even though we go through trials, we had to get beat to get in here. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to lift your name up on high. And what does the word tell us? And suddenly, it says the prisoners begin to listen to them. They couldn't help it. And I could see Paul and Silas as they begin to sing. And maybe they begin to sing some of the hymns that they sang during the day. And they begin to worship and praise God. And at midnight, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. We sing the song about shaking the foundation with praise. This is where it started, right here. They begin to praise the Almighty God. And as they praised Him, the foundations of the earth were shaken. I've heard it put this way, that an earthquake takes thousands and thousands of years to set up, with the earth's crust expanding and contracting and all of these things. And God knew that the prison would be placed there, and Paul and Silas some thousands of years later would be there. But my opinion on that is, God looked down and he saw Paul and Silas, and he gave them a big old thumbs up, and he put his hand of approval on it. And when his hand of approval went on their praise and worship, the earth began to shake at the presence of the Almighty God. You see, even the earth is subject to the authority of God. He doesn't have to set up an earthquake. He can just touch the earth and it can happen. So however God did it, an earthquake happened. And at midnight, when everyone else was asleep, they prayed and they prayed. Their prayers turned into praise. And there was a great earthquake and the foundation of the prison shook and rattled and rolled. And the prison doors came open and the shackles fell off of them. If you're feeling like you're in chains this morning, if you're feeling bound, you need to take and you need to praise your way out. You need doors open for you. You need to praise your way out. Are you bound this morning? Listen, honey, praise your way out. Praise and worship. It is a form of a spiritual warfare. It confuses the enemy in our praise that brings us victory. It is in our praise that brings us victory. It is through our praise to Jesus Christ, the Son, who the Son sets free. He is free indeed. In John 8:36, when we praise and we begin to worship God in our darkest hour, in our midnight struggles, when everyone else around us seemingly is sleeping peacefully and we are laying in bed and we are tossing and turning, and it's like we're fighting a pit bull in the middle of our bed. We need to get onto our feet and we need to walk across our bedroom floor, and you need to begin to take and lift up your hands and lift up your voice and begin to praise and worship the Almighty God. Why? Simply because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise Him. Praise Him. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and their prayers turned into praise. And as their praise went into the heavens, all heaven was at attention, and all hell was listening. And when God shows up and creates a suddenly moment in our lives, that is where the strongholds that are holding us back begin to shatter. It is when God tears down the walls of tears and fear that the enemy has placed in us, and He replaces it with the spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind. When Satan is messing with your mind and you drive him out, you got to replace it with something or he'll move right back in. 2 Timothy 2:11, you replace it with the spirit of power. Spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. In times of suffering, in our darkest hours, we cannot give into the will of the enemy. I'm not going to give up one inch. So that rotten, stinking moron. He doesn't deserve a capital S in my notes. Every time you see my notes and it's Satan, it's always a small S, and Microsoft Word always wants to correct it. It's a small S, not a big S. He doesn't deserve the big S. And I'm not going to give it to him. And you ought not either. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve to be in your life. He doesn't deserve to take and oppress you because you're a child of the Almighty God. You see, worship is simply who God is. Worship is who God is. Praise is what God has done. How many of you, God has done something in your life? I remember the day I repented of my sins, Brother Phil, and was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And from that point on, God didn't have to do another thing for me, and I was heaven bound. Look at what I escaped. Look at what you escape if you're baptized. If you repent of your sins and you're baptized and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at what you've escaped. You've escaped an eternal damnation to hell. When Jesus Christ bled and died on that cross, He didn't have to do anything else. But so much more He did. I love that He gave us life that we may have it. Not just barely tolerable, but more abundantly. If it's just barely tolerable this morning, praise your way out. Get out of that barely tolerable into the more abundantly life. So worship is who God is. Praise is what God has done. And thanksgiving is what God has done for you. You see, praise and thanksgiving coupled together is verbalized faith. Get this now. Worship is who God is. Praise is what God has done. Thanksgiving is what God has done for you. Each step, it's more personal. It becomes more personalized. Praise and thanksgiving, you couple them two together. It's verbalized faith. If you thank God after the fact, that's gratitude. If you thank God before it happens, that's faith. So many times, we like to thank God after something happens. That's just telling the waitress at the restaurant, we had a good meal, thank you. When we thank God, He's saying, I want you, Rich Thomas, to thank me before it happens. I want you to thank me before it happens. I don't know if Brother Will Burris is in the building this morning or not, but he's looking for another job because they're wanting him to work on Sundays. He may be stuck working on Sundays, and he asked not to work on Sundays. And Brother Will Burris, start thanking God for that new job. Somebody send him a text after church. Thank him for that new job where you don't have to work on Sundays, where you can come to the house of the Lord and you can serve him in gladness and lift up your hands in thanksgiving. You need deliverance this morning? Praise your way out. You need a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost? Praise your way through. If you haven't spoken in tongues in some time, maybe it's been a while, and you know what? It doesn't matter to me. It does, but it doesn't for this statement. It doesn't matter to me when the last time you spoke in tongues. I don't keep track of that. I'm not privy to that information, but you know that if it's been a while, at the end of this service, you come to this altar and you lift your hands and you begin to praise your way out. And let that heavenly language begin to flow. If you've never repented of your sins or been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the devil is on you like a fly on flypaper. Listen, you can praise your way out. You can lift your hands in repentance and you begin to fall on your face. You repent of your sins to an almighty God and you begin to lift your hands and praise him for his mighty works and for his acts of excellent greatness. You begin to praise him for just simply who he is, and he will fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not hard. It's only hard because we make it hard. You have problems in your checkbook? Praise your way out. You need a healing today, sick in your body? Praise your way out. You need a new job? You need to praise him. You need to praise him like you already have your deliverance. You need to praise him like you just got through your breakthrough. You need to praise him like the strongholds are being lifted. You need to praise him like your lost children have just come home. You need to praise him like you've already won the battle. You need to praise him because the Lord has given you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. You need to praise him because an incredible God deserves incredible praise. Praise the Lord for every obstacle you have to climb and every valley you have to walk through. For every blessing, we need to praise him. Praise him as if it is already done. Not beg and thank him to do it, but praise him as if it is already done. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be and shall be praised. He is worthy to be praised. Praise him because I've seen the lightning flashes. I'm going to praise him because I've seen and heard the thunder roll. I'm going to praise him when the storms of life are blowing. I'm going to praise him when temptations come. I'm going to praise him when all my friends desert me. I'm going to praise him at all times. Some of you are getting it. Some of you are getting it. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him because the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth despite my situation, despite my circumstance. I gotta praise him. He is worthy of my praise. if our musicians can come, praise Him. And through His praise, it will turn your doubting into shouting. Praise will turn you from being depressed into being blessed. Praise will turn your misery into ministry. Praise will turn your test into a testimony. Praise will turn your tragedy into a triumph. Praise will turn your pain into gain. Praise will turn your setback to a comeback. Praise will turn despair into hope. Praise will turn sadness into gladness. Praise will turn your breakthrough or breakdown into a breakthrough. Praise will turn around your situation. Praise changes you from a victim into being victorious. Praise will change your disaster into destiny. Praise will change your persecution to promotion. I want to sing that song. Don't wait till the battle is over. Don't wait till the victory is won. Don't wait till it's already promised. Don't wait. Don't wait. Praise Him. Shout now. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. We will sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks in his holy name. Sing for joy in the Lord, O ye righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You need a way out this morning. You are in so deep and you can't get out. Listen, we need to take and praise our way out. You need a healing this morning. Praise your way out. Praise your way out. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him for what he's going to do. Praise him for what he's already done. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.